and to everyone in the building. Today is Pentecost, where we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus died and was raised to life and returned to heaven, God sent the Holy Spirit upon the believers. By the Holy Spirit, God dwells in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says this: "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." The band is now going to lead us in a song, and it's like a prayer, really, asking the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, in our church, and in our world. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. This morning's Bible reading is taken from Ephesians, and it's chapter 5, verses 21 to 33, and can be found in your notice sheets. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for the body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Laura, for leading and for reading. Do keep that passage in front of you, if you've got that in front of you, in your notice sheets. Welcome if you're watching online. It's lovely to have so many people in the building this morning, but it's also lovely to have so many still watching online as well. I notice there's still a good number watching this morning, so it's great to have you joining us as well. We are more than happy to have little children in the service. There is a supervised creche as well, so parents, kind of do what you see is best for you guys. Either you can stay in, or you can drop off kids at a supervised creche as well. As we come to God's reading, as we come to God's word, I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that on this Pentecost Sunday, we have your Spirit in our lives at work, and we pray as we come now to your word that he, your Spirit, would be working in us. Please would he soften our hearts, please would he open our eyes to see true truth about you and about ourselves. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're just joining us, either online or here in the building, we've been going through this book of Ephesians. We've been going through the book of Ephesians, all about God's plan to one day bring a people fully under Christ, united on that last day. And this morning we see these words about marriage and how it means to live out as God's people a life of unity, particularly in the marriage relationship. And I wonder, as those words were read, whether you were thinking, well, actually, this isn't really relevant to me this morning. It's not really relevant to me because I'm not married. Maybe you once were, but now you're widows. And marriage just brings wonderful memories, but also great sadness. And so maybe you come to these words this morning with a sense of sadness and loss. Maybe you're single because you've been divorced. Maybe you've never married and you've longed to. Maybe you're in a relationship with a partner and you'd love to get married, but for whatever reason you're not able to. Of course, we could also hear these words read this morning. You think, well, how on earth are these words relevant today in today's world, in the 21st century? With things like, are we all right on the live stream? I think my voice is still there. Apologies, if you're watching on the live stream and all you can hear is my voice, that might be a good thing. You might be quite relieved that all you can hear is my voice. The voice is still on. Great, thank you. I'm told the camera will come back, so you'll have my lovely face in a moment. Look, you might be looking at these words, you might be hearing them read, you might be thinking, well, goodness me, how on earth are we able to read words like this? Words like verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Or verse 24, wives should submit to their husbands in everything. You'll be hearing those words and you're thinking, this is not just outdated, this is downright dangerous. Of course, there'll be those of us as well this morning who go, I'm looking forward to these verses being read because actually my husband really needs to hear them, or my wife. It's going to be really good for them. It's going to be good for our relationship, that we're going to have a bit more of a perfect relationship, maybe off the back of this morning. Look, whoever we are, however we're feeling when we hear these words read, these verses do show us how to have a perfect relationship. But not, ultimately, in marriage, human marriage. These verses point us beyond human marriage to where true perfect relationship is found. The relationship between Christ and us, his people, the church. We get here in Ephesians 5, God's timeless blueprint for marriage, but in a way that points us beyond marriage. Beyond human marriage, to a better marriage, the marriage of the church to Christ. And we see here that the very reason that God has ordained marriage between a man and a wife is to direct us to the gospel story and to Christ. Have a look at verse 32. Paul ends by saying, this is a profound mystery. After talking about the marriage relationship, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Human marriage is designed as an illustration to point us to Christ's relationship to the church. And it is only when we understand marriage in that context will any of this begin to make sense for us in how we live out and encourage marriages to work in the here and now. So what is God's blueprint for marriage then? Well, let me grab the bull by the horns. We start in verse 22. Wives are to willingly submit to as the church submits to Christ. Wives are willingly to submit as the church submits to Christ. It's there in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Now, remember last week, we saw, didn't we, what it means to be filled by the Spirit, back in verse 18. And we saw four things, and the last of those was to submit to one another. We all submit, in some sense, to authorities and whoever it is. And Paul unpacks specifically what it means to submit in marriage, in the parent-child relationship, and in work. And we'll see the latter of those two next week. But submission, he's saying, is an outworking of being influenced by the Spirit. And he says, verse 22, that wives are to willingly submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. And that means the husband, or rather the wife, is to let the husband willingly lead in marriage. Now, we need to back up here, don't we? Because that idea of submission, as I've already said, sounds dangerous to our Western 21st century is. It sounds dangerous because it gives connotations of inferiority, that the woman is somehow unequal, and that she's placed in a vulnerable position. Now, I want to say that is not what biblical God-honoring submission is. Okay, we know that for at least two reasons. The first is that Jesus submits to the Father. The same word is used of Jesus submitting to the Father in 1 Corinthians 15. And we've had hints of it already in Ephesians chapter 1, that the Father is the one who plans salvation, and the Son, Jesus, is the one who enacts it, who submits to the Father's will in entering the world and going to the cross. And yet the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, oh, they're perfectly equal. And yet the Son and also the Spirit submit to the Father. So submission, biblically, is not about inequality. You can be in an equal relationship and still submit. And also think about the point of the letter. The point of the letter is that we as a diverse, different group of people are united together in Christ as equals and submit to Christ. If Paul is saying that for a woman to submit to a husband in marriage is to make the woman less equal or inferior, we'd have to rip up chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians. Paul will be contradicting himself if that's what he meant and all that he said so far. No, submission is a question of a right ordering of roles. It is not about inequality. It's not about inferiority. A husband and a wife are perfectly equal under God, created in God's image, just as Christ is equal to the Father. And yet, it's a working out of roles, being given different roles in the marriage relationship. Verse 23. Have a look down with me. Do have a look down at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Husband and wife, they're equal and with different roles. The husband is given the responsibility in the marriage to lovingly lead his wife. And the wife is to willingly let him lead. And it's as a picture, isn't it, of how we, the church, relate to Christ, verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, as we, God's people, submit to Jesus, so also the wife should submit to her husband in everything. As the wife lovingly lets her husband lead, it is a picture of our relationship to Christ. There's a Christian stylist or blogger in the States called Kay Harms. And she writes this: biblical submission is beautiful because it provides the world around us a picture of Jesus' love for us and his followers' trust in him. It's beautiful because it's a portrait of a believer's relationship with her Lord. You see, this idea of submission, it's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart that allows husband and wife to have an open and frank and lively discussion in marriage about everything, about finances, about how children are raised. And it's a discussion where the wife is going to feel heard and loved and valued, and where she trusts her husband off the back of that to make the best and godly decision. Kay Harms goes on: when I submit to one in authority over me, I demonstrate a humble spirit, a willing heart, a loving allegiance. I show those around me that I can calmly lay aside my preferences and agendas because I trust that ultimately I will be protected. Now, even if, as I know many of us are, we're married to a husband who's not yet a believer, 1 Peter 3 says that actually for a wife to model this attitude of willing submission, of letting a husband lead, may be the way in which the Lord uses her to bring her husband to faith. And actually, we want to say as well, reading these verses carefully actually safeguards women. Reading these verses carefully actually safeguards women. Women are to willingly submit to all men? No, to their own husbands. Not all men, to their own husbands. Verse 22, look at those words, to your own husband. Verse 24. submit to their husbands. God is not saying women can't become head teachers or run their own business or they need to submit to all men within society. That's not what God's saying at all. It's a willingness to let your husband lead as the church, as Christ leads the church. Nor is it saying wives are to do anything or to be coerced into submission. Wives are how? They're to submit as to Christ. They're not to follow their husband's lead in anything that dishonors Christ, that displeases Christ. They're not to submit in a way which makes them a doormat, or to do so unthinkingly or through coercion. That is not the way that you and I submit to Christ. We are not doormats. We are not unthinking. We are not coerced. Now, you see, sadly, men have twisted this. Men have taken this teaching and they've twisted it and they've used it to abuse. I was speaking to somebody between the services and they were saying they heard a stat the other day that one in four marriages within the church experience some form of abuse. Can I say, if you're a woman... particularly we're thinking of women here, but if you're a woman and you find that yourself in that position, you need to talk to somebody, trusted friends, church leader. You'll see if you're watching on the live stream, there's a link there to a national abuse hotline. If you don't feel able to talk to somebody in person, there's a link where you can do so anonymously and find the help that you need. But you see, just because men have abused this teaching doesn't make it a teaching that is wrong. And what follows, as Paul then goes on to address husbands, it leaves no room whatsoever for abuse. Have a look down with me at verse 25. Read along with me, verse 25. What does Paul go on to say? Husbands, lead your wives just as a master rules over a slave. Does he say that? No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. It's not what he says. He says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church. So you see, Paul, what Paul says, he doesn't say, husbands, lead your wives. He says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands are to sacrificially love as Christ loved the church. As Christ loved the church. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What did Christ do? How did he give himself up? He went to the horror of the cross for us, his people. He endured the cross. He faced the Father's willing anger at our sin. He put aside his own comfort out of love for the church. This isn't a husband's type of love where husbands are told to go and buy chocolates and flowers or take wives out for a meal. Well, that's a good thing to do. I recommend it. No, this is a love that is painful. This is sacrificial. This is dying to self, gutsy kind of love that says no to my needs for the sake of my wife. It is a sacrificial love that husbands are called to, just as Christ sacrificed himself for the church. And you see as well, it's a caring, it's a nurturing love. Have a look at verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, there might be some women here thinking, actually, I've seen the way my husband loves his body. I'm not that keen on that. but look at the point that he's making. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body. How? Just as Christ does the church. The husband is to show a sacrificial love, a nourishing, a caring love, just as Christ nourishes and cares for us, his people, just as a husband looks after his own body if he's looking after it properly. Husbands are never called to rule over their wives. Husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loves the church, sacrificially, with a caring, nurturing, nourishing love. We're going to think what that looks like specifically for men in a moment. But before that, we're going to pause. We're going to sing. Oh, no, we're not going to sing. We're going to listen to this song, "Oh, to See the Dawn." It unpacks for us what kind of love Christ has shown us. And can I say, as we listen to these words, as we listen to God's love for us shown through us in Christ, think, what does this mean? How is this to shape the husband's love for the wife?
Sing for us.
What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross, and that is how a husband is to love his wife. With a costly, a sacrificial love. And why? Why did Christ give himself up? Why did he go to the cross? Well, read verse 26 with me. Christ gave himself up for her, the church, us, his people. Why, verse 26? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. He went to the cross so that through the word of the gospel, you and I could be cleansed from our sin and forgiven. And then at the end of time, verse 27, to present her, us, the church, to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Christ gave himself up for us to make us his holy people so that one day we could be perfected as his bride. One day, finally, without sin and stain and blemish. It's the picture, isn't it, of a beautiful bride on the wedding day. Think about the royal weddings, William and Kate and Meghan and Harry. Think about weddings you've been to. Think about your own wedding day, if you're married. And that moment where everybody, where the bride arrives at the back of the church building, everyone turns to look at the bride. And there are murmurs of appreciation as she walks in, spotless and radiant and beautiful. And that's why Christ died, so that we, the church, will one day be seen as that. One day seen as that at the end of time. And just how encouraging is that for us? When all that we hear so often is scandals within the church and abuse, a church stained with that. How encouraging is that when we look at our own blemishes and our own individual moral failings? To think that Christ has given himself up so that one day I'll be perfected as part of his people. And as Christ loved the church that way, for the church's holiness, that is how a husband is to love his wife. Sacrificially, so that she is growing and flourishing in Christ and holiness. It is a sacrificial love directed towards her growing in holiness. And I think C.S. Lewis said that the crown that a husband wears in marriage is a crown of thorns. So, men, husbands, do you have the guts to love your wife like that? Do you have the guts to love your wife in this sacrificial way? So that they grow in holiness, so that you lay down your life for them. Husbands, will you be devoted in prayer for your wives? Will you encourage that in other men? Husbands, men, will you take the lead in praying together as a family? In opening up the Bible? Even if you don't know how, just opening up the Bible and reading a psalm and then praying together. Husbands, will you be the one who encourages your wife and your family to make church a priority and to serve God's people? Husbands, will you be the one who ensures that your wife gets time to pray and rearranges your own diary so that that can happen? Or so that she can spend time with good Christian friends? Husbands, will you ask, what can I pray? And what are you struggling with? What are you encouraged with? Husbands, you see, are not to be overly intense at micromanaging a wife's holiness, but they're to make sure they've got the time and the energy to love their wives well so that they are able to flourish as a disciple of Christ. Might mean changing your job. Might mean changing your hobby to something less time-consuming. It will mean asking, how can I love you better? How can I love you better in a way that enables you to become more like Jesus? And can I say, ask that question, husbands, this week. I asked it of Annie. We've been married for 10 years this summer. And I asked Annie the question this week because I thought, I think I know how to love Annie in a way that enables her to become more like Jesus. Her answer was not what I expected. Ask the question. It will be different for every woman. Blokes, if you're looking to marriage, if you're young, as we raise our kids, are you mature enough to get married? Will we raise kids and boys to be able to love women like this, sacrificially, not for their own ends? The passage says far more to husbands than it does to wives. You see, and a marriage like this, a marriage where a husband sacrifices himself for his wife so that she grows to be more like Jesus, a marriage where a wife willingly lets her husband lead in that, that marriage speaks the gospel almost without words. As people look at that marriage and they go, wow. Wow, that is different. Our friends, our colleagues, our family, the church family takes notice of marriages like that because we're pointed, as we see that enacted out, an enactment of the gospel. And so finally, I wanted to just end with this, that if a wife is to willingly submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ, and her husband is to willingly, lovingly sacrifice himself for his wife, all of us are to look where marriage points us. All of us are to look where marriage points us. We're back where we started, really. Verse 31. Paul quotes Genesis, that foundational statement of what marriage is. Marriage between a man and a wife, united together as one flesh. And verse 32 again. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Human marriage is a road sign. It's like a road sign that points to the final destination, that points to Christ and the relationship he has with his people. We are to look where marriage points us to. And many of you will probably be going away next weekend. It's bank holiday. Say you're going off to Keswick in the Lake District. And you kind of, as you're driving there, you get to a sign that says Keswick, 10 miles this way. Well, how ridiculous would it be if you kind of, at that point, go, great, let's unpack the car, we're here. Get the bags out, let's make camp by the sign. You go to the final, you go to where the sign points. And it's the same with marriage. Look to where marriage points us to. Look for true fulfillment, not in marriage. Not in human marriage, but in the relationship to be had with Christ. And what it means is this, is that actually we don't value marriage so highly. I know it sounds strange, doesn't it? A passage all on marriage. But we don't value marriage so highly that we think marriage is an end in itself. That is where I can find fulfillment. That is where all my relationship longings will be satisfied. No, marriage is temporary, is a temporary gift. That's why there will not be marriage and sex in heaven. It will have served its purpose. So can I say, look, if we're single, and if we long to be married or we're dearly missing the marriage that we had, you can find fulfillment in Christ, partially now by the Spirit, fully one day, when we're presented to him as his church. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a couple of sermons that explore more fully what is God's design for relationships and how ultimately our satisfaction is found in Christ. If you're married, don't get so caught up in your own marriage, in the sense that don't put so much pressure on it. Don't put pressure on your marriage that it can't bear, as though my husband and wife is the one to fulfill all my relational needs. Because they never can. That is not what marriage was designed for, says God. Marriage is about pointing others to Christ. It is about serving Christ as his people. So look where marriage points. And as we do, then let's live out marriage. so that others are drawn to Christ. Let's use our marriages to serve. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for your gift of marriage. Whoever we are, whether we're single, whether we're married, and whether we're looking into Christian things. And thank you for your gift of marriage, which points us beyond human marriage, which points us to the better relationship that can be had with Christ as one of his people. Thank you that one day will be perfectly fulfilled with all our relational longings. And so help us today in the here and now to be a church family that encourages marriage along your pattern, that encourages husbands to sacrificially lay down their lives for their wives, and for wives to be those who willingly let their husbands lead. Help us to do that and encourage that as a picture of Christ and the church. We ask this in his name. Amen. Well, on this Pentecost Sunday, we're going to say the creed together that reminds us that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who influences us and makes us become more like Christ. So let's stand and we'll say the creed together. Together we say, we believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please do take a seat. I'll leave you to read your notice sheets for yourselves, church family news that is in there. Just have up on the screen, off the back of Ephesians, back of Ephesians 4, we're trying to encourage one another to speak the truth in love to one another. Some questions for you maybe to discuss as a family on your own after our time together this morning outside in the car park. Do make the most of those questions or any other question that you want to ask one another. And also, I'm aware it's a sermon, a passage that raises questions. So if you've still got a question, talk. Ping me an email, send me a text, talk to one another this week. I'm going to ask Laura to come and lead us in prayers. Thanks, Laura.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that when we put our trust and our hope in you, then you dwell in us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you guide and direct us to live lives worthy of the calling we have received. Thank you that you comfort us with your presence, your character, and your word. We pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would use us to be your witnesses in our families, in our neighbourhoods, and in the world. Equip us with boldness to share the wonderful, saving, sacrificial love of Jesus. And may the people around us see your glory through our words, actions, and deeds. We pray that we will not try to do things in our own might, but by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name and for your glory, we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for Wellfield Church. We give thanks for the way they are reaching their community, showing love and grace to their neighbours. We pray for Mark as he leads the church in Leyland, that he will always seek your will and preach Christ crucified. We pray for those who are searching for meaning in their lives and are reaching out to the church. We pray that the difficult circumstances in their lives will be overcome, so they are able to focus on knowing you and seeking to follow you. We pray for Pete Harvey, the curate, and pray for the right church for him to pastor. We pray for patience for him as he waits on your timing and your plans for him and his family. We give you thanks that we are able to partner with them in the gospel, and pray they are encouraged in the work they are doing. We pray that you, the God of hope, fills them with all joy and peace as they trust in you. And we pray they will overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for the way our country is starting to slowly reopen again. We give you thanks that the vaccination program is working so well and protecting so many people. But as we see our return to a more normal, our hearts are grieving for countries who are still battling to get COVID under control. We pray for India, Brazil, Mexico, and America. We pray for Christians working in these countries. We pray that you will equip them by your Holy Spirit to offer hope and peace to those who are suffering. We pray for vaccinations to be available across the world and for countries to realise the great importance it is to protect all people. We pray for those suffering with long COVID and for those who are grieving. Comfort them, Lord, and bring someone into their lives who can point them to Jesus and give them hope. We pray for those who mourn. We pray especially for Robert Hunt and his family on the death of his wife. We pray for his comfort and his peace. We pray for those in our church family who are suffering and pray especially for Ian Moss and Beryl Griffiths. We pray they will keep their eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Comfort them, Lord, on days that are difficult to get through. Help them to rest in your presence and be uplifted in their hearts by your presence and peace. And we pray for ourselves. We pray that we will know that we are loved and precious in your sight, and that through your Son Jesus we can have the most perfect relationship that will never fail, never fade, but sustains us, fulfills us, and is everlasting. Lord, we pray that we would submit to you and your kingship in our lives every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we are able to run the food pantry out of Bishop David Shepherd School. We thank you that the school are keen to send those in need to the pantry, and are not only providing education, but caring for the physical well-being of the children and their families. We give you thanks for the volunteers and pray they are able to care for the physical, the mental, and the spiritual needs of the clients who come in. We pray they are able to point them to other agencies that can help. We pray that everyone who comes in through the door will know they are in a safe place where people care, listen, and want to help. Lord, we pray for friendships to build and trust to grow. We pray for opportunities to show Jesus' love in words and actions. We pray this so that your kingdom will grow, people will be saved, and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.